This is Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is Hot Start on EAA Radio.
And already I'm losing my voice.
I got mine. My dark, sexy voice is coming
on.
Stop
it.
Anyway, we'll not even go down that road.
No, we won't, doggone it. Hey, we've got somebody here.
That's nice.
It's great when we have guests, and it's wonderful when they show up. And we have one here that's actually shown up this morning. Carl Stoltzfus, the CEO of Dynamic Aviation. Just a little background here. For those of you who don't know, first off, I'm a motorhead, and I love the Lockheed Constellation. Dynamic Aviation got a hold of Columbine II, the first presidential airplane to use the call sign Air Force One. They just got her flying, flew her to Bridgewater, Virginia, and I'm dying to go down and take a look at her. Good morning, Carl.
Good morning. How are you doing?
We're doing great. How are you guys doing? You took on a huge project, and you put her back in the air again. How the heck did you do it?
Well, it was a very complicated project. We first found out about the airplane in October of 2014, and I've got a real passion for history. History is my hobby, and it just didn't seem right that airplane would eventually get scrapped. So we started looking at it and put a crew together and went out and put a lot of time in getting it ferryable to bring it back to Bridgewater to do a complete restoration. We want to put it very, very period perfect and do a complete restoration.
Is it safe to say you actually stumbled across this airplane before you knew anything of its history?
That's true, yes. Yeah, I read about it in aviation magazine, Warbirds International, an article by Ralph Peterson, and a very well-written article, and I mean, it just got to my heart. It was like, you just can't let that airplane sit there. And I talked to my grandson, Gabriel, who was with me today, and we talked about it, and we decided we really had to go do something about it.
Wow. How long did it take from when you saw this airplane to get it flying again?
It was about a year and a half because it took a little time to put the deal together. I was actually stalling a little bit because I was hoping somebody else would be foolish enough to go buy it. And then we wouldn't have to and somebody would fly it, but I just didn't want to see it scrapped. And then finally decided that we should do it.
Oh, my. Look what followed me home, Mom.
Yeah, really.
Can I keep it?
I was going to say, it had to have been interesting. You guys were expecting all kinds of quirks, I'm sure. What were the issues that you had to deal with to get this airplane airworthy again?
Well, as in everything, there's kind of like the plus side and negative side. The plus side was that it was sitting in a desert, so therefore the aluminum did not corrode. So there was no corrosion in the airplane.
None at all. The basic airframe?
Virtually no corrosion in the airplane.
Wow.
And that's huge. If we would have found, we actually, with a seller who were wonderful people, we actually put an agreement where we had 3 months to inspect it because we were so worried about corrosion. And the more we looked at it, the more we realized it didn't have any corrosion. So the plus side, sitting in a desert, in a hot desert, it didn't have corrosion. The negative side was that everything, if it was rubber, it was gone.
Yeah.
So every hose in the airplane, firewall forward and the airframe, we had, and then a lot of the fuel system seals were bad. And so we had we spent about 8,000 hours of labor just merely getting it ready. But I didn't take any shortcuts. I mean, I'm not a shortcut artist. We basically, everything we did right. And we did with interest and with passion and with quality. And so we flew the airplane 10 hours, getting it back, zero squawks.
There you go. That's a testament.
That's
right
incredible.
There.
Incredible.
That is, yeah, right.
Where did you find people and people knowledgeable about that airplane? That's the first question.
Well, there was a guy by the name of Dave Coons who had been flight engineer on Vern Rayburn's Matt's Connie, Mr. No Connies. I mean, you know, and our company's Dynamic Aviation. We've done very, very complicated projects with large airplanes literally all over the world. So this is not like something brand new to us. We operate about 100 airplanes all over the world. So from that standpoint, we're okay. But from a technical knowledge about the airplane, Dave Coons was. And we had he was the technical guy, and we had a number of our mechanics, a guy by the name of Brian Michaelis. We had a number of our mechanics that were really very, very sharp mechanics. And we took our people and some technical expertise and put it together, and it worked very well.
That's amazing.
What was it like the first time you turned engines on her?
Well, it was just phenomenal. You know, we had the engines hadn't run for a very long time. They may have been started one time, but you know, that running an engine at 1,000 RPM and running it at 2,500 RPM for takeoff. That's two different animals. I mean, you can make almost any engine run. So, but we did a lot of work before we ever even turned the engines over. We changed all the oil. Major work before we ever even tried to start the engines. And we had one of them fail before we ever got off the ground. So,
well, that's a great. That's the best place for it to fail.
Yeah, right.
Not once you're off the ground. Oh.
I was going to say, you dumped an engine. Where did you get another one?
Well, we were very fortunate. A guy by the name of Rod Lewis, Flying Legends, was in the middle of redoing his airplane, which was the Bataan, and which was up in northern Arizona, and he was getting ready to fly it, and he blew an engine, and he needed to borrow one, so he borrowed ours. So, I mean, very good guy. I mean, helped us out a lot, and we helped him out, and he helped us up. So, you know, in some of these rare airplanes, you got to help each other. Everybody's got to be together and collaborate, and he was very, very gracious to do that, and we helped him out. So it worked out. Then we shipped his engine back.
Where did you get the airplane? Which desert?
Oh, it was Marana, which is, of course, just north of Tucson, like 15 miles north of Tucson. So basically Tucson
area. I will say that years back I visited Tucson, and west of Tucson there were some airports that had Connies laying around like old mailboxes. And
well, it may have been
stuff.
That Avra Valley. It's now Marana, but that may well have been the airport. There was actually a second Connie there, a 1049 that we bought for parts.
Well, that's good.
I was going to say, were there ever any time in the project that you looked at this airplane and said, "Oh man, what have I gotten ourselves into?"
Well, that was probably every other day. The good thing is that I have a lot of friends and in aviation and in general. And one of my friends is a guy by the name of Scott Glover with Mid-America Flight Museum in Mount Pleasant, Texas. And he came along. He actually brought 10 mechanics out, flew his Lodestar out, and helped us out. So he was a great encouragement. I mean, it's a daunting project, any way you look at it. I mean, it's a big deal.
Oh yeah!
To make this, dig this thing out of the desert and make it fly. So, had a lot of support, you know, and we all need that. So, but now, I also had a real strong notion that this was something I was supposed to do. I mean, really, once I looked around the airplane, I had a sort of a inner sense that this was something I was supposed to do.
Was the interior still intact at all?
Well, if most people looked at it and they would say no, I look at it and I say yes, because it didn't have the original seats in it or anything like that. But most of the partitions were in it, the headliner in it, the sidewall was in it. If you walk up in the stateroom where the president would have sat, the buttons that he would have pushed for interphone and telephone and so forth, and the console and everything he had, that's in the airplane. So you can go up there and touch the buttons that President Eisenhower pushed. I mean, this is an incredible airplane from for the 50s. If you want to teach history, that's where we're really interested in using it for training, teaching people. It's a perfect airplane to teach the history of the 50s.
No, that was there you go.
Geography, politics.
When you ferried it out, you had redone the engines.
Yes.
Those are compound turbo supercharged engines.
They're not turbo compound. They're supercharged, but they're not turbo compound. This is a 749. The turbo compound was on the 1049.
Okay.
But it's still very, very, very complicated.
Well, what I was wondering was, did you actually push it into boost on that takeoff?
No. We actually, Tim Coons, and I think I said Dave Coons, it was Tim Coons. Tim Coons managed the engines, and 2,800 RPM is what you're allowed to use. He wouldn't let anybody use more than 2,400.
Okay.
So we were very, very cautious with the engine. He managed it so the airplane would get home.
Right.
We would show off to somebody how much it would climb.
And you were very lightly loaded, so.
Yes, very lightly loaded, so.
How'd you flush the fuel system? That must have been a job in itself.
Well, it didn't hardly have any fuel in it.
Okay.
So when we put fuel in, everything leaked. So, you know.
itself.
overhaul the fuel boost pumps, the fuel selector valves.
And the tanks were...
We actually had one tank on the way home got so bad we had to transfer fuel out of it to other tanks. And we flew it with one dry tank because it was dripping so bad.
Wow. And there was no in-flight food service.
I hate when that happens. And the movie, of course, was Air Force One.
Yeah. But this is genuinely the first airplane that was, and just a real quick one on that. It was called Air Force One in the air traffic control system. It was not called Air Force One by the public. But genuinely, it was called good documentation to show that in the air traffic control system, it was called Air Force One.
That's when they coined the term.
That's when they coined the term, precisely.
Okay.
said.
Okay.
Well, wow. I don't know about
What's the future? Bring it back here?
Well, yeah. It ought to wind up here sometime. I keep saying it's 2 to 3 years. You just don't quite know because I'm going to do it right.
Okay.
And we want to get it out on the show and,
very good.
Use it for training.
Very good. I want to thank you for joining us, Carl Stoltzfus of Dynamic Aviation.
That's right. The official first Air Force One. The airplane's called Columbine 2. She's a 749 model Lockheed Constellation. I'm doing the happy dance thinking about this. And I'm Fast Eddie.
And I'm Digital Dave. And this is EAA Radio.